WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
It's officially summer, Chicago. Have you signed up for a summer 5K yet? I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. I don't know about you, but it feels like every summer, everywhere I turn, people are signing up for or training for a half marathon. It won't be long before your Instagram feed is full of race bibs and shiny medals. And with good reason, running, especially distance running, has exploded in popularity over the past couple of years. Enrollment in the Chicago Marathon was up to nearly 50,000 runners last year, a threshold that's expected to break in 2024. But running can be more than just exercise. For many, it offers a sense of community and in-person connection that has been harder to find in a world that's so online. So to jog us along Chicago's rich running scene, we turned to a few superfans. Tim Bradley is the executive director of the Chicago Area Runners Association, or CARA. Beverly Lynch runs Running Excels, a store in the Beverly neighborhood on the south side of Chicago. And Sani Nguyen is the founder of Family Style Run Club, an AAPI-centered running club. The panel kicked us off with what summer races they're eyeing. Here's Tim.
Luckily, my season is ending July 4th.
It's been
a little bit of a rough one for me, but yeah, I've already done six races this year.
Six races this year. Are you, Sani or Bev, eyeing any?
I currently am on the injury reserve list right now.
Okay.
Don't count me out. However, I have signed up for the Chicago Triathlon.
What about you, Bev?
I just ran the Clearwater Half Marathon in Florida.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm so inspired. Does the Chicago area have a quote-unquote running scene? Is that fair to say?
I'd say we're getting there. Yeah, it's been pretty amazing in terms of just the amount of increase in run crews and, you know, races that have been going on over the last couple of years. So I definitely think post-pandemic, the increase is there. If you talk to the Chicago Marathon, if you talk to local shoe stores, everyone's seeing positive trends and increases in participation. So, yeah, it's here.
You've been with the Chicago Area Runners Association for some time now, Tim. And as I mentioned a moment ago, and you did too, running's, it really has exploded in popularity. We particularly saw it post the pandemic shutdown, if you will. So talk more about what you've seen here.
Yeah. So if you, time travel back to 2020 and even when the lakefront was shut down, I mean, talk about pent-up demand, right? So the idea that you couldn't even run on the lakefront and then having that reopen in the summer of 2020 and then, you know, slowly but surely races coming back, the CEM events of Shamrock Shuffle, Chicago Marathon coming back and seeing record participation there. And, I think, you know, so many people, we had to be isolated. We couldn't do social activities. We couldn't have access to our normal spaces. And so That just led to that pent up demand, and now with social media, it's easier to organize. It's easier to maintain momentum if you've got a new, you know, run group started, and just keep your group organized and moving forward. And as you increase, it just shows you how quickly it can happen and how fast it's exploded.
Sani, you've got an interesting COVID experience. I hear you originally tried to launch this run club just before the pandemic. And then you ended up doing running events on Instagram live streams. Man, I remember the live stream days, but tell us how this worked for running.
Sure, absolutely. So initially I had announced that I was going to start a run club around September of 2019. And that was just an experience that I had as an AA and HPI athlete, and the lack of visibility and spaces for an individual like myself. It just so happened that winter was coming, and so it was very hard to physically launch a space during that time. But then we just got hit with COVID. So what I did was, given the resources that we had and what we could do, it was very hard for us to congregate together. And so I started doing Instagram live competitions and Instagram live stories. And what that meant was that we would have challenges, and I would have individuals kind of meet these challenges per week. And if they did, they get entered into a giveaway. At that time, I was partnering with Nike. And so each week, if that individual had met that requirement, which is run every day for a mile, run 7 miles in a day or whatever it may be, they entered for a giveaway. And then we gave them running shoes and clothing. In addition to that, we did a lot of Instagram live stories with a lot of coaches. Mm-hmm. And so people got to go in there and ask questions about running, because they couldn't ask the coaches live in person.
Right. And then you transitioned to starting the in-person club.
Yes. And that was an experience that was very unique in itself, because I had left back to California during the pandemic. When I returned back, just like Tim said, there was a huge growth in community organizations and running. And for some reason, I just felt like that was my call to go back to it. And I officially launched it right after AAPI Heritage Month of June of 2022.
Nice. Well, Bev, you were making deliveries of running gear to customers during the pandemic.
Yes, we were.
You? Oh my gosh. Tell us about that. What were you hearing from them as you were doing this?
So people did want to support the local store during the pandemic. So we would do fit processes in our back parking lot. We would also drop off shoes to people's homes, let them try them on, decide what they wanted. They could keep what they wanted. And then we would go and pick up and bring back whatever they didn't.
Wow. And so you've been running your store, Running Excels. It's been 10 years now.
14 years.
Oh, my goodness. So when did running originally become a thing for you? Tell me your origin story with this.
I would say mostly when my children were older. I had more time to partake in the running. And I did start running with Kara out of Oak Forest. Mm-hmm. And just met some lifelong friends there and have continued doing so since.
Oh my gosh.
I do have a running club that runs out of the store. We've been doing it for 14 years. They met during the pandemic. We did social distance, but it is still going strong.
Yeah, tell us more about the people that come to your store. You hold this group. It's on the south side. It's at 103rd Street.
Yes, we meet at 103rd and Western. And we have some runners who've been running with us for 14 years. And we do our mileage for the residential area of Beverly on the streets.
That's awesome.
Everyone is familiar with us, so they, you know, we have a mutual respect for the cars and people in the neighborhood as well.
Tim, you ran on cross-country teams in high school and college. Did that team aspect of that experience shape what running means to you?
Yeah, I've been involved in it a long time, since 1997.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is the only thing I've ever done, right, is just got involved in high school at the age of 14, and, you know, I guess the rest is history. But, yeah, I mean, the idea of having a team, or at CARA we use just the term the power of the group, mm-hmm. and how powerful it is when you do have accountability to show up, and, you know, you have friends and you have people that are kind of stakeholders in your own running. And that goes a long way and is a very powerful motivator.
Yeah.
And also just keeps you engaged in it. Even if you're injured and you have to take some time off, when you come back, you know, people are happy to see you. They're saying, you know, when's your next race? How's your injury doing? So it's a huge factor in terms of the running experience.
And Sani, for you, when you started Family Style Run Club, it was also for a similar reason, right? You craved that community aspect.
Yes. I had been running since 2016, and I ran my first marathon in 2017. And in those first 2 years of training for the marathon, I saw community, and I was showing up to spaces that didn't exactly represent me. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I showed up to these spaces in hoping and find individuals who understand what it meant to be a older runner, somebody who's actually had experience with injuries, a person of Asian descent, and what that meant when it comes to putting our physical fitness as a priority. As I entered these spaces, I found a lot of times that there were individuals that I couldn't entirely resonate with, which is fine, because these spaces and communities that they hold, there's a large showing for a reason, because they resonate with other individuals.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until there was an experience, a personal experience, where after I finished the marathon in 2019, it was hard for me to find somebody to sit with or cheer with or congratulate with. And I was like, man, this is really hard. Like, there's so many individuals like us along the course, mm-hmm. but where are we collectively, or where is our community as a group? And so I decided on the name Family Style, which is synonymous to like the way Asian individuals commune, the way we eat family style, we share everything. And so I created that space so that it was to provide representation, visibility, and honestly, a place that we can kind of joke around about what it means to be Asian and running, and the jokes that we have with our parents about paying to run, or the jokes about us being in certain run corrals and not being the best in our respective spaces. Yeah. And that's kind of nice. And then in addition to that, it's just that the Asian community in Chicago is so small, right? We're averaging around 10%. Now you add that to individuals who are athletes or runners, we're even much smaller.
Yeah.
And so I felt that needing a space like this was like necessary. And it was something that I felt that had it not been for family style, I don't think I would continue to have run just because there was just nothing about it that made me want to continue to move in spaces that didn't entirely serve me.
Yeah. You know, I seriously considered starting to run a few years ago. I thought I was going to be part of that pandemic burst, but I think what held me back was this idea that I wouldn't fit in because I was such a beginner. I hadn't really done distance running before. I was, like you, Tim, before high school, elementary school, I was sprinting. I was that girl. But distance, oh my gosh, count me out. And so I thought groups just would not have the patience with me starting out. But, and it also felt very clicky, if I'm being honest. I wasn't in Chicago at the time. I was in DC then. But it just didn't seem like there was a way in. But from what I'm hearing from you three today, it sounds like that might not be the case. I mean, have you heard that from people before, Bev? And how do you help dispel that?
Frequently. We just try to welcome everyone. Runners are very encouraging. We always say hello. We're there for each other. Yes, everyone is welcome. We have young people running with us up to older people. So everyone is welcome.
How do you deal with it when folks say that to you, Tim?
Yeah, I think just telling people that, you know, there are run-walk programs out there as well as free and accessible programs. So whether it's with our training programs or our go-run program, you know, really catering to beginners in certain spaces.
Yeah.
Sure, we have experienced marathoners, but when someone hears like, oh, you can actually run-walk the marathon if you just want to run 2 minutes and walk a minute.
Give advice for the slow runners out there.
Yeah, that's a great way to get involved in the activity, and it's also pretty well proven that, you know, if you use these strategies of, you know, maybe it's just a slow jog for 2 minutes and then walk a minute, break it down into digestible segments, right? Because running a marathon is pretty scary. Running 13.1, any of those distances can come off as pretty scary. So when you start talking specific strategies on how someone can, you know, do that and understanding the spaces that are available for beginners, it goes a long way.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
So running is a sport that's often seen as being very accessible and, you know, sort of having low or no cost of entry, but there are some hidden costs, though, that I think can make it hard to advance in the sport, like the race fees, the proper shoes. I mean, Sandy hinted to it before about, you know, paying to run, even having the time, I think, to train for a long race. So, I mean, what have you seen? Do you see inequities like this sometimes surface in Chicago, Sandy?
Absolutely. And some of the ways to, I would say, resolve and combat this is fundraisers are a big thing. Community organizations, luckily for many community groups, not just in the increase in run clubs, there's also an increase in social media use.
Yeah.
And that is a way to get the word out. So we've had individuals who have sought to us to help them promote fundraising for a race, whether they are part of a charity, whether they need new shoes. We want to, you know, one of the things about community that's so special besides showing up to run is the ability to have individuals who are resonating with you or have issues that are similar to you. Mm-hmm. So these opportunities to ask people like, hey, I have running shoes that I no longer need, or hey, I have running shoes that I tried out that don't fit me anymore. Anyone interested? And so there's that communal use and the ability to share our resources with one another is really helpful. I also would like to add that it's been very, very nice that we have a lot of great organizations that also come in to support. So CAM is a great opportunity for individuals who are interested in joining races but can't. There's volunteer opportunities that can turn into a possible free bid too as well.
Bev, your store's on the far south side, but a lot of the big running clubs I've seen and outfitters in the city, they're up north. So do you feel integrated into the running scene in Chicago, or is there a bit of a disconnect?
Oh, absolutely. Our runners will engage, you know, they will run, participate in many of the races up north, in the south suburbs. We host races in our neighborhood,
so actually, it is integrated.
Well. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We mentioned shoes. For those beginners who are listening to us, I mean, Bev, what shoes do you recommend? Where do they
start?
Well,
it's all individual.
Yeah.
So if you go into a run specialty store, especially Running Excels, we have our own fit process. So we will look at the individual, you know, assess their needs, and we will encourage them to allow us to put them in the shoes that we feel are best for them.
Yeah. Tim, what have you seen in terms of inequities here in Chicago? Is that visible for you?
Yeah, that's a good topic and certainly something Kara took head on. So, I mean, really going back to 2016 to 18, we kind of came to the realization, like, Kara didn't really have any free programming or accessible programming, right? You either had to be a member or you had to pay a certain amount to be a part of, you know, training or racing. So, you know, that really transformed the organization. We brought on Go Run around 2016. So a completely free 5K and 1 mile race that runs about 33 to 35 weekends out of the year. Mm-hmm. So just taking away that race fee, it was huge for us. And then also starting our Run Crew programs where someone can just run with us without any, you know, cost of entry or anything else like that.
I see.
So, yeah, as our organization, we definitely had to take it head on and just come up with that realization of like, we're asking someone to pay something, you know, to run with us. Can we have a division or a part of our organization that's just free and accessible? And we've really done a great job of that and seeing growth in that Go Run program as well as the Run Crew. So it's good.
And Sandy, safety is top of mind for a lot of runners, especially women runners who they often feel that they're only able to run in certain areas or in certain clothing or at certain times of day. How do you face these kinds of challenges?
I've definitely faced it on many occasions, and I understand that it is tough in certain areas of Chicago to run and at certain times just because the nature of what's been happening post-pandemic. It's unfortunate that women face more issues than men, and whether it's because we somehow become a target and whatnot. But the big thing on safety is whether you are an organized group or just running socially and you create an ad hoc community, what you want to do is you want to make sure that you enter these spaces or create that run path with notice. And when I mean notice, it's letting individuals know where you're going to run, what time you're going to run, who's going to run with you. You're going to have leads. You're going to have sweepers. That means that ensures that there's nobody left behind.
Nice.
You're going to introduce those who show up and point to those who are going to be leading. There's many ways in which we can be safe as a runner, but you can't do it without viewing that there are possibilities that things may happen. And that's not just talking about an individual physically getting hurt, but we're talking about the issues that come in the spaces that we're running, whether it's construction going on, whether it's bike lane. Now that everyone's out and about biking and using scooters, we have to be cognizant of that too as well.
For sure.
And so as an organization that we don't put together like events that are, I guess, registered with the city, and we do a lot of ad hoc, unsanctioned community spaces, we always are cognizant of what it takes in order to give everybody the proper notice they need when they run in group settings.
Well, before I let you all go, I'm very curious, where is your favorite place to run here in the Chicago area? If you can pick one.
If I can pick one.
Ben, you want to go first?
The Beverly area. It's beautiful residential homes. Mm-hmm. It's safe. There's a huge running community.
Beverly. Okay. Sandy?
For myself, I have to give a little shout out to a few run clubs in Chicago. Yeah. That's 7 on Sunday, On the 9, and Gumbo Fit. These run clubs run on the South Side, and it is because of these run communities was the opportunity for me to even make it to the South Side and feel nice. Safe enough to run and be aware of that neighborhood. So for myself, it was probably Promontory Point heading north.
Nice. And we'll take that as a huge compliment because I know you're coming from California and you got a lot to compare it to. Yes. So that's nice. And Tim?
Yeah, maybe a boring answer, but yeah, definitely the lakefront. I think, you know, sometimes you have to pinch yourself and realize how lucky we are to have that space, you know, whether it's the iconic skyline or just the different areas along the lakefront is it's a pretty amazing space for us to have.
Not a boring answer at all. We love the lakefront. We've been talking about Chicago's running community with Tim Bradley, Executive Director of the Chicago Area Runners Association, Beverly Lynch, who's owner of Running Excels, and Sani Nguyen, founder of Family Style Run Club. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Jules Yeager, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Max Lubbers. After all that talk about running, we want to know, do you have a story to share about a sport that you have played? This summer, we're collecting your favorite sports memories. You can leave us a message at 888-915-9945. That's 888-915-9945. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again this afternoon.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.